And now it's time to go travelling, thanks to AAT Kings, Australia's favourite guided holiday company.
I thought I'd do something different today with our travel segment, just something that might appeal to those who have either been in a caravan, been camping, or do it on a regular basis. I have got the editor of Time to Roam Australia magazine, Rod Broom, on the line. Now, Roam is Australia's favourite caravan and recreational travel magazine, and I thought a bit of fun to look at the areas around Australia that make it so applicable for caravanning and camping, and talk about your own experiences as well through the eyes of Rod. Rod's on the line right now. G'day, Rod.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Now, I read over the weekend that more young families are opting for caravan holidays. Do you have any reason as to why this has taken on? There's been a boost in caravan holidays at the moment?
I think it's the Gen Y factor, Chris. You know what Gen Y people are like. They don't like to wait for anything. So as opposed to Gen Xers and baby boomers, I'm not sure which category we fit in, but they want to do it now while they can. And so they're hitting the road. And while, you know, the older generations think, I'll do that lap of Australia when I retire, well, the Gen Y view is, why wait till then? If we can do it now, let's do it.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take on all of that. And have we seen a corresponding spike in sales of caravans and camper vans?
Yeah, contrary to what people think, I mean, you get stuck behind a caravan on the road and you think they're all sort of the grey nomad type people. But the figures show that the split is fairly even between young families, couples of any age, and the seniors who are heading off.
Yeah, having done a few myself, and I was a great camper, but I haven't been too often recently. But I've also taken for a few test drives these camper vans, these Winnebagos and these other camper vans that are on the market now. And gee, it's amazing how camping parks have changed and how much they cater for that kind of holiday.
Well, what you find with most people, particularly the ones who are doing the long-term travel, the slow lap around the country, they are using different places to stay. They're free camping sometimes and they're staying in parks at other times. So they're choosing the right sort of vehicle that allows them to do the type of travel that suits them. And it might be a motorhome, it could be a camper trailer, or your traditional caravan.
Now, listeners, if you've just come back from one of these slow trips around the block, that is right around Australia, and you'd like to tell us about why we should do it and get onto it quick smart, 131873, come and tell us about your experiences. Or if you'd like to plug an area that may not get the publicity or the marketing dollars but is a really good place to set down either camp or caravan and you think that we should be aware of it, 131873 is the telephone number. Where are people going on camping holidays? I know they're going everywhere and we're seeing caravans everywhere and camping everywhere, but is the North Coast, for people in New South Wales, is the North Coast still preferred over the South Coast or vice versa?
Look, people are going everywhere, Chris, and you'd be hard-pressed to find anywhere in Australia where you're not going to run into people these days. But in our latest issue, we actually went out and looked at the piece of coast that takes the prize, if you like, for being the best-kept secret, which is probably an overused travel term, but the stretch of coast that's the most untouched between Sydney and Brisbane. And that's actually the Clarence Coast, which is just east. Yeah, you've been there. Been from Grafton. Grafton's the capital of the Clarence, of course. And they're little beautiful places like Broome's Head, Woolai, Yamba. And I think probably the distance from Sydney and Brisbane has kept it that little bit isolated and special. And there's a great stretch of national park up there called Yuruga National Park, where there's actually a four-day coastal walk where you can walk along the beaches there and potentially not see someone for 4 days.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I was in Yamba about 3.5 years ago, having never been there before, and I thought, who's kept this a secret for that long?
Yeah, yeah. And look, the good thing is, while you can get away from it all, in places like Yamba, there's wonderful places to eat and dine now because they're really getting into the sort of the paddock-to-plate dining philosophy.
Oh, are they? Right.
You're not going to be short of a latte if you want one.
Yeah. See, all along you used to go in the pubs up and down the North Coast and go into a pub and get a decent meal, but they're really plating up in terms of fresh produce and what they put on the plate nowadays, huh?
That's right. Regional produce is everything. And let's face it, Valley's like the Clarence, have always been big on agriculture. So there's so much great stuff there, and not to mention, of course, the seafood,
yeah.
like the amber prawns and the walleye oysters.
These stop are it.
You want to keep secret, don't you?
Stop it. Yeah, you want to keep it. Just don't stop talking about it. If I wanted to do a lap, clockwise or anti-clockwise, Rod?
Oh, that's the big debate. I don't think anyone can say what's right or wrong. We, in the latest issue, we caught up with a young couple, the Gen Y couple, who've just done it. Their names are Kaz and Craig Makepeace, and they have a blog called Why Travel Blog. And, look, the best piece of advice they gave is, if you're going to do it, do your homework before you go and get the right rig for you. Maybe go on a short trip first and work out what style of camping you'll take.
Yeah.
Because they actually took a pop-top camper with them, and in the end they said, we wish we'd took a caravan because it
wasn't big enough.
Less time spent each day sort of setting up, and they said people with the caravans would be sitting next to us having their lovely glass of wine, and we were still sort of erecting the pop top and so on.
And usually in a lather of sweat as you started to put in the pegs and everything like that, it can be a pain. And then if you want to take off for a short period of time, you've got to come back and go through the process again.
Yeah, look, each to their own, and different forms of transport suit different people.
Did they go clockwise or anti-clockwise?
I think they did the clockwise thing. In the end, they didn't quite get as far as they wanted to, and they had to leave out South Australia, but I understand they've since caught up with that as well.
See, I always reckon that you should go anti-clockwise, and I know this is a major issue for those who've done the lap, and maybe we can get some listeners to tell us which way they went, but I would have thought anti-clockwise because the hardest trek would be Northern Australia because of the vast dry continent we have in that section of Australia, and then you get to the more luscious bit in the second half, which might make it easier for you.
Well, it depends when you head off. Generally, people don't want to be up in the tropics in the warmer months.
No.
They want to be down around Tassie or Victoria during the summer months. That's generally what dictates the way people go.
So in your next issue, you will be looking at doing the lap, and not just clockwise or anti-clockwise, I guess, but how to best prepare for that lap, what you should take, and how much time you should take off?
Yes, we've spoken to Craig and Kaz and got their advice on that. And we've also, in the next issue, looked at just a nice little rural retreat that a lot of the grey nomads are going to in southern Queensland. It's a town that's really rediscovering itself. A town with a big name, that's Texas, the border town.
Yeah.
You heard of Texas?
Yeah. I used to work at Moree, and I used to have to give the weather forecast for Texas. Yep, go on.
Yeah, well, Texas once rode on the rabbit's back. It was the home to the biggest rabbit processing works in Queensland, and that's because it was actually south of the rabbit-proof fence.
Of course.
From the 1930s to the 1960s, they processed millions of rabbits there. The best ones were exported, and of course they took the fur for things like Akubra hats. So of course, since myxomatosis, the rabbits have died out. And they're trying to relive those glory days, especially for...
Oh, don't tell me they're going to make a big rabbit.
No, don't think so. But the old freezing works, which is incredible to look at, is now open as a museum. And it's just a place you can go and get away from it all and get a friendly welcome, camp down by the river, do a spot of fishing. Little inland towns like that now are having a real revival thanks to this boom in caravanning and camping.
Yeah, great stuff, and a little bit of history thrown in when you visit the town of Texas in Queensland.
Yeah.
Great coverage. Fantastic, Rod. I think it is a breath of fresh air, literally and metaphorically, for people to get out there in a caravan or a camper and maybe even repeat some of what they did when they were younger as well, when they were much younger. Thank you, Rod.
Pleasure to be with you.
Good on you. Good to have you on. Rod Broom from Time to Roam Australia magazine. Is a beaut magazine, and it usually features some great photographs of old-fashioned caravans. You know those old two-berthers and three-berthers? They get a lot of those pictorially published in Time to Roam Australia. Have a look at the magazine if you can in your newsagent.